We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, this hour of OMF brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. No Ordway today, so it's just Maloney and Fourier. And joining us now on the Harbor One hotline is Chris Mannix of SI.com. And Chris, thanks for joining the show. I saw that the day after the draft, you had Celtics as one of the losers, and then Gordon Hayward walked. So what do you make of the week that Danny Ainge had?
Well, it was a tough week. You know, I don't like to evaluate draft picks immediately because we don't have any idea. Right. Like, nobody was screaming that Draymond Green is awesome when he was picked in the second round, or, you know, Pascal Siakam is going to be a stud when he was drafted 27th overall by the Raptors a few years back. So we don't know what Nesmith and Peyton Pritchard are going to turn out to be. What I didn't like was, for starters, the Celtics couldn't package those picks to get inside the top 10 or acquire the kind of veteran player that they needed. And I also took issue with, you know, the inability to move up and grab an RJ Hampton. And the only reason I like RJ Hampton is because Denver does. And Denver has a history of this. I mean, Denver 2 years ago grabbed Michael Porter Jr. when he was free falling in the first round and got him in the mid first round. Last year, they get Bull Bull, who, you know, the son of Manute, who played really well for that team in the bubble. And, you know, they got him in the second round. So when Denver moves up to go get you, my antenna goes up. And I think they might have a bead on what that guy can be. And the Celtics could have had that pick. I mean, they had two picks right behind it. They could have moved up and grabbed that first rounder. So if RJ Hampton turns out to be a player, that could be a miss. So that was the biggest reason I didn't like the draft. You know, free agency, it all kind of depends on what you think of Miles Turner, right? Like, Miles Turner was the guy that the Pacers were willing to move. You heard Kevin Pritchard, the GM of the Pacers today, come out and say, we tried everything we could to get Gordon Hayward. They couldn't get a deal done with Boston. So, you know, I happen to like Miles Turner more than others. I mean, I like, you know, three-point shooting, shot blocking, you know, athletic big men. I mean, he's not perfect, and some people don't like his contract, though I think that's a little misleading as well. In today's NBA, $18 million per year is not an astronomical number by any stretch. So, not getting Miles Turner, I think, certainly hurts. They did rally and got Tristan Thompson, who I like, to give them the kind of physical presence they haven't had in years. And I think Jeff Teague is fine as a backup, and that's important when you have a guy with a bum knee like Kemba Walker has. But, you know, look, nobody's going to sit there and say it was a great, you know, weak stretch for the Celtics. I just don't think that they accomplished everything they wanted to accomplish.
You know, Chris, we spend a lot of time evaluating. Hell, we spend months and months and months evaluating and then critiquing the NFL draft. In the NBA, nobody really even pays attention to it, to the actual day. And even then, it's really just, you're really just talking about your team. When you analyze the NBA draft compared to the NFL draft, do you kind of give the NBA draft, I guess, a little bit more leeway for mistakes based on just how young these guys are and how I feel like sometimes it's harder to evaluate them, especially the 10th, you know, the 20th picks, where in the NFL those guys are starters right away?
I mean, no, screw that. Like, you know, it's your job. Like, I understand they're younger, and, you know, especially a year like this where if you're drafting freshman, it becomes more challenging. Like, the challenge of James Wiseman is incredible. I mean, the kid played three games at Memphis this past year, but I mean, you can scout these guys all the way back to their AAU days. You can see them in tournaments beginning when they're seniors in high school, junior and senior in high school. And, you know, they play a full college season, most of them, and they get the NCAA tournaments. To me, it's kind of a cop-out when youth is blamed on it. There are some teams that are wildly successful at this. Like, San Antonio is what San Antonio is, a decades-long dynasty, because they drafted exceptionally well, not just inside the top 10, but finding the Tony Parkers and the Kawhi Leonards and the Manu Ginobili's, who were not these blue-chip prospects. I mean, Toronto is Toronto because of Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet, who was undrafted. I mean, it's not easy, but, you know, the teams that draft really well are often the teams that are most successful. So, I mean, every team's faced with the same level of challenges. It's the teams that identify this talent more regularly that generally have the most success.
You know, Chris, talking to Chris Mannix, SI.com, I think a lot of Celtics fans agreed with you on Miles Turner on Friday. And then when it looked like the deal wasn't going to be made, now all of a sudden he's a bad player with a bad contract and nobody wants him around here.
Yeah.
But I was just reading a story out of Indianapolis, basically putting it on Danny, saying that, you know, Indiana was willing to go four and I think 105. And, you know, they were willing to give up Turner. They haven't been willing to give up Turner in the past. And that Danny got greedy and he wanted multiple starters. So, you know, Hayward leaves, and he gets possibly a trade exception, right, from Charlotte here. So I don't know how this didn't just fail when it comes to Danny Ainge. He had an opportunity to get players. Or has it just come down to he just hates Miles Turner?
Well, I mean, look, history is going to be the only thing that judges that, right? Like, the Pacers did want to move Miles Turner. Like, they in Indiana, they don't really believe that the Miles Turner Domantas Sabonis combination really works. And Turner regressed statistically last year with the shooting percentages. It just isn't a great fit with that group. There are people across the league that view Miles Turner as a little bit soft. And this kind of plays into what I said. Like, he's not perfect by any stretch, but I think the positives with Miles Turner outweigh the negative. The question I would have, and it's not one you're going to get a straight answer to, is did the Celtics really believe that Charlotte was for real and that there was a $120 million deal on the table from Charlotte? Or did they think that was a bluff? Like, many people in the Celtics organization believed the Knicks were kind of a red herring. Like, they didn't see the Knicks. They didn't see Gordon Hayward as a New York guy, and they didn't think he'd want to go play in New York. I think they were right about that. But if they didn't believe that Charlotte was real, I mean, all you have to do is go back 6 years. And remember that Gordon signed an offer sheet with Charlotte 6 years ago, so he was willing to play there. And, you know, that organization is kind of bonkers. Like, they do some goofy things, and this is, you know, frankly, another one of them, tying themselves to $30 million per year over 4 years to Gordon Hayward. So that's my biggest question, Lou. Did the Celtics believe that the Hayward to Charlotte thing was real, and that's why they dug in on whatever they dug into, or did they just really not want anything to do with Miles Turner? And we'll see how that plays out. Maybe Tristan Thompson is a better fit than Miles Turner with this team. Maybe getting Jeff Teague is the right play, but that's going to be something we wonder for the next couple of years.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of like the feeling maybe I have. You know, is Danny Ainge, you know, Trader Danny, you know, people say about him, or it's looking for the best deal, maybe not believing Charlotte's real, knowing that it's him in Indiana, and he's going to squeeze everything out of Indiana possible because this is going to happen, and next thing you know, he gets backdoored and gets nothing from it. You know what I mean? Did asking for too much, I mean, is that something that we've seen from Danny in the past? I think we have, but could that have been the case here?
Yeah, I mean, look, sometimes, and it's not an excuse at all, but sometimes the best deals are the ones you don't make. I mean, letting Gordon Hayward walk for nothing hurts. I mean, I've talked to a bunch of assistant coaches in the Eastern Conference the last couple of days, and make no mistake about it. I mean, I like when people, like, you know, fans worry about the contract. I mean, what do you care about the contract? What do you care what Wick Grosbeck has to pay, you know, Gordon Hayward? The loss of Gordon Hayward, the basketball player, is going to hurt this team next year. How much it hurts depends on the continued development of Tatum and Brown, how many minutes they play, you know, Smart fitting in there, a couple other minor moves that they might make, including the development of Romeo Langford and this kid Neesmith, can he play? So it'll be degrees of bad. But, you know, they'll miss Gordon Hayward with this group. So getting nothing for him, you know, certainly is a net negative for this team.
So, Chris, where are they at now? As far as the pecking order goes in the East, it was like a bunch of teams got better. And I think it's a little bit deceiving that maybe the Celtics didn't, but they do have some young talent. So when it comes to the Eastern Conference, where do you put them, and what do you think their ceiling is next year? Or this year, hell, it's less than a month, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think it's Milwaukee and it's Brooklyn, and there's a gap with pretty much everybody else. Maybe Miami is in that mix, though they're kind of built more for the playoffs than they are to succeed at a high level in the regular season. I think the Celtics are kind of in that middle of the pack, and it's a tough pack now. I mean, the Eastern Conference got a lot better than just organically with the return of Durant and Kyrie in Brooklyn, and some of the moves that I think that Milwaukee made that made them a better playoff team with Jrue Holiday and a couple other pieces. So I think the Celtics are in that mix. But again, it's going to come down to, you know, is Tatum going to take that next level from third team All-NBA to first team All-NBA? Can Jaylen Brown become an all-star this year? Can Marcus Smart become an even better three-point shooter? The Celtics' improvements are going to become organic, are going to come organically. And then, look, I can't stress this enough. I mean, somebody has to come out of this Romeo Langford, Peyton Pritchard, Aaron Nesmith group and be a player for this team. Somebody's got to be that eighth or ninth man in that rotation and be effective. I mean, they're going to need that guy. They'll need some depth, especially in the regular season, to keep up with all these good teams in the Eastern Conference. So I put him, Christian, right in the middle of the pack in the Eastern Conference right now when it comes to the pecking order.
Oh, yeah, and you know what, Chris? Sorry, but I think that's it. And so there is reason to be optimistic then.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're a really good team. You know, and Tatum's a great player, and they've got really good players. It's just that you're in a conference right now that got a lot tougher at the top and has, I think, better depth overall than it had last season. So Atlanta reload. They're going to try to make a run at the playoffs this year with the weapons they have. I think Detroit might be a little bit better. I mean, they've got, if Blake Griffin can be healthy and some of the guys that they signed. I mean, it's not an easy conference by any stretch anymore. And, you know, home court advantage, I think, will eventually matter. We think, you know, if we get to the playoffs and there's some semblance of normalcy that returns. And, you know, I don't know if you want to be in a situation where you're a 4-5 seed having to go to Milwaukee to play that second round. I mean, it's just, these are all things that have become factors of the Celtics.
All right, we're talking to Chris Mannix from SI.com. And Chris, if this works out with Charlotte and you do get this massive trade exception, are we underrating what it could be, or are people overrating what this trade exception could be? Because it's like, you know, everyone's all excited that they could get this thing and improve their team.
I mean, it's like draft picks in a way. Like, it's great to have until you have to use it. And usually, and I don't know the specifics of any trade exception they might get from Charlotte, it's usually a year that you get to use the exception. You saw Oklahoma City picked up two massive ones in the deals that they made. And Golden State just used theirs to get Kelly Oubre, is going to help them replace Klay Thompson. It does have a pretty significant amount of value if that player is available, right? So, like, you know, I don't know who they would fit into that trade exception right now. I don't know who that guy is, but, you know, come midseason, they may be able to package some of the young players that they have with that trade exception to give it to a team that's trying to clear cap space for the summer of 2021. Just wants to get a contract off their books. So I don't know if you overrated or underrated. It's great to have right now, but it's like draft picks. Like, eventually you got to use them. Like, Oklahoma City has, like, you know, 407 draft picks through 2026. Like, eventually you've got to use them, and eventually they've got to become players. The Celtics, I mean, how many years would we be talking about the Memphis pick and the Kings pick, and, you know, what have those become at this point? Eventually you have to turn that into players and turn that into real tangible talent. And if you're able to do it, great. If you're not, these things are less, certainly less valuable.
Chris, I just want to go back to the Celtics team as a whole. So do you think this is possible? I look at growing a team organically. Tell me if you think I'm way off on this. So the Golden State Warriors, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, all drafted, all developed. All it took was Steve Kerr to come in, and next thing you know, they win it. So I think that happened, I want to say, 2012. So I feel like the Celtics have the same, I guess, upside. You know, as far as, okay, we didn't sit here and build a super team. We didn't go and recruit LeBron James or Kevin Durant. We won it before Kevin Durant. And I feel like there's an opportunity for the Celtics to follow that same script.
No, I would agree. they're certainly not on any type of short-term timeline with this team. You've got Brown and Tatum locked in now for at least the next 4 years together. That is your core. I mean, Marcus Smart seems to love being a Celtic. I think whenever his contract is up in a couple of years, he'd be likely to come back. I mean, the wild card certainly is Kemba and how he ages with that knee into his 30s. But, you know, you're looking at a window for the Celtics team that might be 5, 6, 7 years wide at this point. And certainly there's reason to be impatient, especially when you know, you've been at the doorstep so many times. I mean, how many conference finals can you go to and not get to the finals before it becomes, you know, problematic for this group? Yeah, I mean, look, it's a great
Danny
story.
Will tell
a lot of conference finals.
He'll remind you.
Great. That's great. It comes with a nice ribbon.
A T-shirt.
They're not on a bad path here. You're not looking at a team where you're like, oh man, we got to move somebody. It's not working out. You're not so ridiculously over the cap that it's problematic. You don't have, bad contracts. And look, that's what Gordon may have turned out. If the Celtics had met his demands, he's probably going to be a bad contract sooner rather than later. I mean, he just is. I mean, he's, the Charlotte Hornets, I mean, they just, getting rid of Nick Batum and now having Nick Batum 2.0 on that team, I don't know how that's going to work for them. But the Celtics are in a good position in terms of flexibility, can make some deals, but we'll see who's out there. But no, like, to answer your question, like, it's, the window's wide open here. They don't need to win a championship next year for it to be considered a success. They don't need to do it the year after that. The next 4 or 5 years, as Tatum and Brown hit their mid to late 20s, that's when their window is really open, and that's what this team is building towards.
All right, Chris Mannix. Chris, man, thanks a lot for joining us. Have a happy Thanksgiving tomorrow.
You too, guys.
All right, man.
Thanks, Chris.
Take it easy. Chris Mannix.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.